Blog Talk Radio. Well, good evening, Kingdom citizens. It's another day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Well, welcome to Let's Talk Kingdom. So glad you came on to join us this evening. I'm telling you, we have a special guest that's going to be coming on with us tonight. I know that she's going to make you laugh, but she's also got a powerful testimony that I know that she wants to share with you as well. So before we get started, let us open up with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you. We honor you for this day. We love you and we magnify you for everything you have done thus far. So God, we ask you to be in the midst of this interview. We ask you to have your way, God. Let the atmosphere be filled with praise and worship. And just let our guest know tonight that she is free to speak whatever you have placed on her heart tonight, God. So we thank you and we honor you, and we thank you for all those that are listening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, let me read you just a little bit about our guest. Her mission statement is, I live to honor God. I live to bring laughter to the kingdom of God. I live to help those who hurt and show them that the love of God can break all chains of bondage. She's a member of Victory Christian Ministries International, and she serves in the singles ministry and the performing arts ministry. She enjoys helping others and making them laugh. Her personal interests are comedy shows and stage plays, and she's got a powerful testimony tonight. My production assistant actually had an opportunity to share some information with me about her. So without further ado, we're going to bring Tanya Lewis on. Tanya, are you on the air?
Yes.
How are you this evening?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. Well, I just read a little bit about your mission statement, and I want you to tell our listening audience just a little bit about, you know, how you got started as a Christian comedian.
Okay. Well, I started, it wasn't something that I had called myself to do. All my life, I've been a class clown, and everybody was like, you should be a comedian. I was like, I'm not going to be a comedian unless I hear from God himself. So I went to an event. It was called Live Your Dreams event. My friend, Pastor Shun, she helped people to live their dreams. And so she was like, God gives each of us a gift that we can use to build the kingdom as well as make money. And everybody in the class was like, you need to be a comedian. I was like, I'm not going to be a comedian. And she said, I want you to give us an exercise. And she's like, I want you to post, go to your Facebook page and post, what do you think I should do? And I said, I threw out a high number. I said, if I get 50 responses saying that I should be a comedian, then I'll do it. I got like 150 comments saying, you should be a comedian. I was like, oh, this is a setup. But I still didn't do it. I was like, until I hear from God, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get in front of people, let alone get in front of the church. Oh, no. Nah. So I was sitting at a computer one day, and my daughter, she does spoken words. So I'm on there looking under gigs for an event for her. And I saw something that said, showcase your Christian talent. And I'm telling you, I heard from God, like, it was like somebody sitting right next to me. And it was like, tell them you're a Christian comedian. And I'm like, tell them I'm a Christian comedian. So, all right, God, you have me lying? Oh, my God. So I typed back. I'm like, all right, I'm a Christian comedian. And that's all I said. I ain't going no explanation or nothing. Sent the email. I got a response 2 weeks later. And they was like, well, we're looking for a Christian comedian, and we want to get you to come to the event. And I'm like, all right, I'm a Christian comedian. At this point, I'm like, all right, I'm a Christian comedian. And you know what I was going to say? And then I looked at the email, and why it was a lady from my church who sent, who was looking for the Christian talent. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, somebody from my church, all the church people going to come. I'm going to get up here and make a fool out of myself. They're going to say it ain't funny. They're going to talk about me. I was like, how am I going to get out of this? And I mean, even up until that day, I mean, God gave me the theme, Fit for the Kingdom. And I'm like, oh, really, God? I'm a big girl, but you going to tell me to talk about being fit for the kingdom. So the day of the event, all my friends, they told me, they was like, we're not going to be able to make it. And I'm like, really? Y'all to talk me into this and y'all not going to come? But when I got out there, they all were there. So they introduced me. I mean, my name on and the lights and everything. I'm like, man, this look like, I done told these people I'm a Christian comedian, and it looked like I'm a professional. They had my name and the lights. Everybody from my church. They had the deacon there. They had the usher there. They had everybody there. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
All right, so they introduced me. And I go up, and I'm like, look, I was just being me. I'm like, this is how this happened. God, I was like, I'm not going to get up here until I heard from God. And I heard God to say I'm a Christian comedian. So if I told him before I got up, if he makes me look like a fool, I ain't going to get up here again. I'm used to, like, sitting and cracking up with my friends at different restaurants and stuff like that. But I've never been in front of an audience telling people stuff. And then I started going into stuff that was happening with my life. And I was at work, and I wrote this little jingle to, like, remix a song. And I pulled a piece of paper out of my pocket, and I said, you know, I was sitting at work today, and I wrote this song. And I did the song as I was closing out. And I got a standing ovation at my first show. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I will never do this again. And my friends are looking out. They're talking, we're proud of you. I was like, yeah, you do this. And so when I got off of the stage sound, I was like, oh, my gosh, thank you, Jesus. This lady came up to me. She said, that was wonderful. She said, I want to book you for another show. And I said, another show? I ain't doing this again. And she was like, I'm going to pay you. I said, all right, how I sign up? And I'm like, you going to pay me money to do this? Let me tell you, I went and did my second show. And after that, I got a stand ovation. And they're like, we're going to book you for your third show. We're going to pay you. And I was like, y'all going to give me money to do this? And so it's been going on and on. So a month after this, I'm on Facebook. And I see this advertisement that says, write for Mr. Brown's page. And I'm like, what? Okay, I'm going to sign up for this. And so I inboxed, and I was like, I'm interested in writing for the page. And they came back, and I got a response with, like, tell me something funny. And I'm like, what? I, like, get up there, and God really tell me what to say. So somebody be like, tell me something funny. I'm like, I don't have nothing off the top of my head. So I can really say, like, it's anointing. Because I get up there, it's like I'm in a whole different place. People are like, well, repeat that joke. I'm like, I don't know what I said, honey. You should have wrote it down or get the DVD. It's like I'm a whole totally different person when I get up there. So I'm like, man, God is good. And so I wrote for the page. And I wrote for the page for like 6 months, and I'm telling you, things blew up. He gave me a reference on the page. I posted it. I was like, man, I'm writing for the Browns. All right, God is good. This is going well. This is like 6 months into me doing this. And so God told me to come off the page. I got promoted. I started being a content writer where I would just write jokes and, like, post them and do the little pictures and stuff. And then I became the manager of the page. So I'm like, all right, the kids will come in the room and come and do this. I'm like, I'm over here writing these jokes. I mean, I was, like, neglecting everything. God called me off the page. But I was disobedient, and I stayed on that page for, like, a week. And then my friend inboxed me, and she was like, what did God tell you to do? I already knew what she was talking about. And I was like, all right. And so I prayed, and God was like, I want you to come off the page. So I got off of that page, and I started my own fan page. Everybody followed me over from that page. And so that's how I got a fan page and got into it.
Wow. Now, actually, what year did this all, you know, transpire for you?
2012.
2012. So you pretty much, wow, so everything has blown up from 2012 to now 2016, because you know yourself, it takes a while for a comedian to really build a fan base. So you know this was definitely ordained by God.
Yes.
Wow.
This is I mean, who grows up and be like, I want to be a comedian? Even when my kids go to, I mean, and when I got laid off, which is a story within itself, and I was doing comedy full time, it's like my friends, I go to the doctor, they be like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a comedian. And they be like, no, seriously, what do you do? I'm like, no, that's what I do. And then by the time I leave the doctor, they know I'm one. And then, like, my kids, they was like, we're not telling our friends that you are a comedian. For, like, career day at school, they wouldn't tell me it was career day. It was like they was ashamed of what I did. I'm like, you like coming in here turning these lights on, don't you? And my my kids, that, and they be like, please don't put me in no material. My mama thinks she funny. And they tell me, no, don't put them in material. And I'm like, look, you ain't write no jokes, so you might as well be part of the joke. So work with me here. So
well, that's what I'm going to ask you next, because I know a lot of times a lot of comedians say that, you know, their life experiences are where they get their material from. Have you ever had an event where you felt like, you know, your material wasn't really received? Because I know that's probably the first thing that probably hits your mind, like, okay, I'm going to step out on this stage and I hope what I say, you know, blesses the people. So how do you kind of get over that initial, because you've been doing it obviously for a couple of years, do you still get that anxiety when you go get ready to step on stage?
Oh my God, yes. Even before I came on the radio, I'm sitting here like, all right, Lord. And my friend told me, my friend was like, because I always used to say I'm nervous. He said, don't say you're nervous, say you're excited. And I said, well, I feel like nervous. And he told me, he said, walk in your TMA. And I was like, OMG, I don't know what TMA is. Okay, what is it? And he was like, tailor-made anointing. And I was like, oh, that's good. So I was like, all right. And they was like, be you. And I said, that's what scares me, being me, because I say what's really on my mind. But I really received that. And so even now when I don't say I'm nervous, I'm like, okay, I'm excited. God got me. He ain't going to have me up here looking a fool. And I pray before I go. I take an event, I pray. And I used to not pray, and I had a bad experience. I did a birthday party at Phillips Seafood in D.C., and the guy, he started throwing dollars up there, and he was making rude comments. And I was like, that was an experience for me. I was like, I will pray over every event that I do, because that was like the most horrible experience of my life. And I don't want to pimp the gift that God has given me.
Exactly, exactly. I love it. I'm going to switch gears just a little bit now. Krista, my assistant, gave me a powerful testimony about you and your son?
Yes.
And if you would, I would love for you to share that with our listening audience, because, you know, sometimes we may be going through, or someone may be going through something, but when they hear how good God is and how somebody else has been blessed, you know, even in the midst of something that looks like it may not be a blessing. Talk about that experience, because I was just blown away. And then when she called me back and told me, you know, the end forecast, I was like, look at God. So if you don't mind, would you share that testimony with our listening audience?
Yeah, and let me back it up a little. 2014, and it's like, and the most painful experiences in my life, which were like really painful for me, and I'm like, all right, God, where are you at? What's going on? God has birthed some amazing things. 2014, I lost my home. I lost my job. I lost everything. I lost myself. And my kids, they went to stay with their dad. Their dad has never been in their life, but it was to the point where they had to go stay with their dad. And throughout that time, he would talk about me to the kids, tell my kids I was homeless. I mean, he just bad-mouthed me the whole time to my kids. And it was in November. He had them for 3 months. That November, he brought the kids stayed with me for Thanksgiving. He just dropped them off for Thanksgiving, had them for the break. And when it was time for them to return, he said, I'm not taking them back. Now, at the time, I was staying with a friend. So it was like, now I'm already staying there, but now my kids are there, and they went through behavioral problems. I mean, because they were dealing with the fact that their dad is just going to drop them off. They're in school, so they felt abandoned. So they would react. I'm telling you, their behavior, they did stuff, and I'm like, are you serious? Did the counseling thing. We did everything. So my boys, I talked to my pastor, and my boys, I made the decision with my pastor and everything, because I didn't have my own place at the time, to send them to a school. So they go to a school where it's all boys. That was like one of the hardest decisions in my life. I cried every single day. I didn't understand how God is going to use me in the midst of this. I'm getting on stage, and then at night, I'm crying. So a lot of people are like, I don't see with your kids all the time, because we used to be there all the time. So my boys go to a school now. And my daughter, she was staying with a friend. And so in the midst of that, he birthed Laugh Away the Pain, which is a DVD series I have. Because it's like, all right, the things that I minister to people. And whatever you minister out, that's what the enemy will attack you in. So for me, it's joy. I mean, like, it's some stuff that happened. Like, on the stage, I'm one way. And then at home, I'm sitting here crying. And this pastor, my pastor's like, you know, you minister out this, God wants this for you too. But I was, like, so sad. I was depressed. And I was like, all right, as Christians, they teach us not to say we're depressed. I was like, well, I have all the signs. I'm depressed. I'm, like, really sad. But I kept going. I kept pushing. And the things that we go through, they're not for us. They're for other people. Mm-hmm. So moving forward, my son, he's in the school, and he's on a program. They're doing well there. He's in different activities. He has a job. They have a mentoring program. I'm saying, like, a big turnaround, a big difference. They call me, they're like, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I'm like, who are these kids? And my other son, he has an anger problem. They say he had an anger problem. So he got discharged. And so here it is, still had nowhere to go. And now I have my son, my other son, he's in the school, and the other one is back with me now. So I called the dad, like, look, I need you to take your son again. All right. He wouldn't do it. So it's like for like a month or two, I had to like literally have my son in different places, which is like a generational thing for me. I recognize it's generational because I grew up in foster care and having to shift to different places. So I recognize what it was. Now it's trying to come through my children. And I remember one night I drove down 95 and it was like, I had nowhere for my child to go. And I reached out to my mom. I reached out to my dad. And when I say my family, nobody was there. It was just me and the Lord. So I saw, like, God do some miraculous things in the midst of that. He really taught me in that period to not depend on people, but to depend on him. Because I'm thinking, okay, I got a job. I got this. Everything is fine. But he is, like, the ultimate provider. You can have a job and think you're okay, but hey. So they finally accepted my son back in the program. I'm like, thank you, Lord. But I had to deal with me and deal with things that were going on. And it took for my kids to get there for God to, like, really get me to himself, because I'm always on the go. I'm always masking. I always go. Like, running has been, like, a thing for me. He's still dealing with me now, but it's, like, easier to just run and keep going and keep busy than to sit and deal with it. So in the time that my children have been there, I've been able to, like, really sit and deal with me, like, all right, Lord. So I get a call from, first of all, my son, he is, like, he sits there and he, like, ministers me. He's like an old man. He protects me. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of hard separating from him. So he, as far as insurance-wise, he's like, do we have insurance? He asked me stuff like that. Can we afford this? Can we do that? I'm like, Mark, don't you worry about this. We got this. God got this. He's going to provide. And so he didn't tell the school that he had pneumonia. He didn't know he had pneumonia. He didn't tell the school that he was sick. He told me one time, he was like, Mom, can you get me a humidifier because I'm having a hard time breathing at night? So I'm like, all right, we're going to get you something to put in the room. So we got to have a fan so he can breathe better at night. So long story short, he cut. That Wednesday, well, that Tuesday, somebody, one of the boys, hit a piece of glass and it shattered and it got in his eye and he had to get a tetanus shot. So the reaction from the tetanus shot, then I found out he had pneumonia. He passed out at school. So it took for him to pass out to realize he had pneumonia. I have a heart murmur. I've had a stroke. I've had a heart attack. And so the doctor said that my son has a heart murmur. So the reaction from the tetanus shot and the fact that he had pneumonia all that time and he didn't know and his blood pressure was a little high caused him to have a heart attack. So they didn't tell me. They told me that he's going to get the tetanus shot and he was in the hospital. So I'm thinking, okay, he got a tetanus shot. And then it was like, he had a heart attack. I'm like, serious? And it was like, calm down. We're going to let you know how everything goes. And I'm like, calm down. I'm ready to drive 4 hours up here to, like, see what's going on. And he was like, we're going to let you know. So that morning, I mean, I sat up all the night crying and praying. Like, me and my son are really, really tight. And so I went to the hospital, and on the way there, they called me, and it was like he had a heart attack, but he's doing a lot better. He has pneumonia. He has fluid on the lungs and the bacteria got in his bloodstream. And I'm like, what? Oh, no. Nah. So I'm praying, I'm calling on my friends, we interceding. And I'm like, no. Let me tell you, by the time I drove them 4 hours, they was like, well, he got pneumonia, his heart rate is fine, everything is going on. I said, no, I ain't driving with him for 4 hours. We're going to lay hands, we're going to do everything. So my son, he was sitting up waiting for me, and then he'll talk when I get there. He's joking to me, can I get some Popeyes? I'm like, boy, you ain't going to eat no meat. You about to be on a Daniel fast and every type of fast. We are vegetarians now. We ain't eating nothing. And it was like, well, you don't have insurance. I'm like, no, but I have God, because I moved from Maryland, and it was like, we're not going to cover this in Virginia. I was like, I'm not worried about that. And so my son's sitting in there telling me, I need to be discharged. We don't have this. And I was like, look, God has provided. We done went through all this. You're going to stay here. So long story short, they gave him a machine. They released him from the hospital. He was spitting up blood, and that's from the pneumonia. He's on 6 different prescriptions now. So right now he's being monitored, but his heart is fine now, and he sent me messages, cracking jokes. He sent me a message the other day talking about he wants some boots, and I'm like, you are not getting these boots. These boots are like $70, and I just got him this jacket. And he's telling me, well, if I have the boots, they'll help me get healed better. I said, Jesus will heal you. And he goes, tell me, so 1 Corinthians says a man that has boots can get up and walk, something to that effect. And I'm like, really? So he cracked me up.
Wow, that's phenomenal. I tell you, God is awesome. When we think that, you know, he's not there, he is right on time. What were you thinking the whole time you were driving? You were like praying, I'm like, God, I know he's healed, speaking healing scriptures and things like that, because you already knew when you got there, he was already going to be taken care of.
Yes, and they say it's easy not to worry and stuff. And I'm going to say I was worried, but I'm telling you, I was pushing it. I was going there, and I was sitting there praying and praying. I was talking to my friend going there, and I'm like, all right, is everything going to be all right? But you know, when I got there, what my son said to me, he was like, you know what? I remember what my, the pastor's daughter, her name is Antoinette. He said, I remember what she prophesied to me. She told me that God is going to do great things in my life. And he said, I have a calling on my life, and I have purpose in my life. And I know that God hasn't finished completely fulfilling my purpose. So I know it's not my time. I ain't going nowhere. I said, well, shoot. That 15-year-old got that revelation of that. Why am I going to sit here and worry? He know he ain't going nowhere. And then he looked at me. He's like, Mom, you're doing well in your comedy. You have a book. He said, you done pretty much fulfill your purpose, so you need to worry about your time more so than mine. And I'm like, Lord.
Wow.
He's doing a lot
better. Out of the mouth of babes. Now, I heard you say something a few minutes ago that I did not catch earlier. You have a book out?
Yeah, I have a book. It's called Restored. I'm working on my second book now. It's called Behind the Mask. It talks about, because if you ask me if I'm okay, my first reaction and answer is going to be yes. It's like I'm programmed to say yes, because I don't like to open up a lot, because I've shared stuff and people don't hurt me with sharing my business or whatever. So you got to definitely discern who you share your business with and who you let help you as well. So my second book, and I have a short book. It's called Laughing with the Lewises, where me and my kids sit around and we share funny stories. But the book that's with Amazon and everywhere else is called Restored, and it talks about when I was homeless, a weed addiction. I lived a whole completely lifestyle, and it took me like a long time to write the book. You know how sometimes you try to block things out that happen, and I was like, all right. So God was like, I want you to share this. But what I realized, and somebody said this one time, is when you become a believer, you really ain't got no business. Your business is not your own. It's to help other people. And I had a dream one night. It was like, as I began to write, I saw people coming up behind, underneath this box, and it was being freed from what I had to say.
He does it that way. Now, I want to ask you to do something for me. We've got listening audience from all over the country that will be listening tonight. Some of them have called in. Some of them have are listening over the internet. Some of them will listen to this recording later on. If you had something, I'm not going to call it wisdom, but if you had something that would be encouraging to someone tonight, what would that be? Whether it would be something that's dealing with their health, their finances, their children, just, you know, wanting to step out and do what God has called them to do. What would you say to them tonight?
Okay. Like I said earlier, God, because a lot of people don't know their purpose. And whatever you're passionate about, 9 out of 10 times, that's what your purpose is. Like mine was always helping people. I use comedy to kind of, like in the beginning, early stages of my life being in foster care, I would use comedy to kind of distract people from what I was dealing with to take the attention off myself. So God gives everybody a purpose and a plan. So your gifts and your purpose should not only glorify God and draw people into the kingdom, it should also bring you wealth as well. So don't give up. I mean, even like we go through trials and everything, remember that the trial is not for you, it's for other people. And there's some things I go through, I'm like, who else gonna use this? But somebody will pop up and be like, I'm going through this. And I'll be like, well, I can share them with them my testimony. So don't give up. I would say the biggest point that I want to leave is like, really don't give up, because a lot of people want to quit and give up. But when we give up, that's when things are like really happening. And if the enemy ain't attacking you or coming up, then you really, I mean, if he doesn't attack you, then you really don't have nothing. So if you're getting attacked, then there's something in you that he's afraid of. So really don't give up. As far as health, this was like an awakening for me. So it's like I'm really like watching what I eat, and I like to eat. So it's like I have to be an example, because I'm trying to think of the scripture. It's I can't think of the scripture right now, but it talks about how people, like the world, they look at us to be an example. So we have to show them. So if they look at us and we live in one way, so I have to, like, be an example. And, like, the title that God gave me was Fit for the Kingdom. And I'm like, all right, he didn't give me that for no reason. So apparently I'm going to have to put it into work. And so I'm working on my health now. I have to be an example to my child. So if he, like, asked me to sneak some food, I can't do that. I got to be that example.
That's
so my favorite scripture I always use for everything is Matthew 6:33. Seek God, everything else will be added to you. So if you seek him in the midst of your trials and your midst of your pain, everything else will be added to you.
Amen. Tanya, I love you. Now, where can we see you? Do you have any upcoming events? Are you going to be traveling anywhere in cities? Where can I listen going to catch you if you're in a city where they may live?
Okay. You can go to my fan page, which is Comedian Tanya Lewis. I post my schedule there, which is ComediNNE Tanya Lewis. I'm on Periscope. Everything is under Anointed to Laugh. Anointed is with one N, ANOINTED, the number 2, Laugh. My website is www.anointedtolaugh.com. And it's funny because I was like, all right, what am I? I had some other name. I think I had Christian Comedian Tanya Lewis. So now I'm Comedian Tanya Lewis. And I was like, I didn't need a title. I should be able to show I'm a Christian and anywhere I go. So he gave me Anointed to Laugh. And at the time when I heard God say Anointed to Laugh, I'm thinking, well, this is catchy, but this ain't funny to me. But Anointed to Laugh is like in the midst of everything you're going through, but God anoints you and everything, you're anointed to do whatever you're going through. He's going to anoint you to do it. And if you have the anointing on God, you're going to be able to do it, whether you're feeling sad, whether you're feeling hurt or whatever. He's going to grace you to be able to do that. So I'm on Periscope. Everything is Anointed to Laugh.
Listening audience, did y'all hear that? Anointed to Laugh. That is what her title is. Now, one thing that I usually like to close our show out with is I'd like for our guests to close us out with a word of prayer. But before we do, I just want to thank our listening audience tonight for tuning in. Tanya, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and blessing our audience tonight. And, guys, remember, we've picked up two new days. We're now broadcasting on Mondays, and we're now broadcasting on Fridays. We were just doing one day a week, which is Wednesday. But now God has opened up the door for us to do two more days during the week, and we had a powerful, powerful Monday night session. So if you guys can go to our Blog Talk page, Let's Talk Kingdom with Katrina. You will see some of our archive shows as well. And Tanya's show is even going to be archived, and you can go back and share this with your family and your friends as well. So without further ado, Tanya, we are coming up 7 o'clock hour. Would you close us out with a word of prayer? I would so love that.
Okay, yeah. And it's funny, I shared with my Periscope listeners that I used to be scared to pray out loud because, like, Christians tend to be, like, really deep. And so somebody asked me to pray, and I thought they wanted me to be on a prayer call, but they actually wanted me to pray. And the call got disconnected, and I didn't call back because I was like, the enemy, like, really had me scared to pray. And I just shared this the other day. So it's funny you're going to ask me to pray. God delivered me right in time, so I can go out and close now.
Wow. Awesome.
Yes. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you for another day, Father God. We thank you for every person that's called in to listen, Father God. We just thank you for the gifts and the dreams that you are birthing in your people, Father God. We thank you for witty inventions, Father God. We cast out the spirit of fear for those who are afraid to just walk in what you call them to do, Father God. We ask that you speak to every person who called here, Father God, and just show them their vision and their purpose, Father God. Whoever is dealing with issues with their kids, Father God, we ask that you fix it right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. We cast out procrastination, Father God. We cast out hurt, depression, Father God. We just thank you for every person here, those that are struggling with finance, Father God. We thank you for financial increase, Father God. We thank you for debt cancellation, Father God, that everyone will walk in their purpose, Father God, and do your will, Father God. We set aside what we want to do, and we just ask that your will be done. So we just thank you in advance for all the blessings that you are about to bestow upon us, Father God. We thank you in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tanya, thank you so much. I love
you're
you.
Welcome.
I'm going to be looking at your website, and hopefully you'll be coming toward North Carolina sometime soon, and we're definitely going to catch you when you come out. Listening audience, again, we thank you for tuning in tonight. We have come up on the 7 o'clock hour, and the show is closing out, but remember, don't forget us. Let's talk. God bless you. Good night, Tanya.
Good night.